Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
Time now for More on Entertainment with a special guest in studio. I think it's a new feature we're going to be making part of this new this old feature.
Yeah.
So we have special big shot guests in studio.
This is like when Frank Sinatra would come out on another guest on the Johnny Carson show.
This woman is much more attractive than Frank Sinatra. Mm-hmm. Kelly Rizzo is here, and Kelly is one of the most influential social media influencers, and back home in Chicago where she belongs. Have you seen your family yet?
I've seen my sister, but I have to say that you guys, I got in late last night, and you guys are the first friendly Chicago faces I've seen so far. This is such a treat to
wake up. Well, we're family.
You guys. I know.
Right?
But we're not blood.
I mean, does
well, maybe
really
Dean
matter?
Is blood, yeah.
Not yet, but the segment's early.
I'm just so happy to be here, guys.
And with my sketchy family history, who knows?
Yeah.
Right?
So Kelly is Eat Travel Rock, I think is her, if you know her.
And you should follow all that she does. Are you working this weekend? Is that one of the reasons you're in town?
I am working tirelessly this weekend. I'm so excited. I'm here filming two episodes of Eat Travel Rock TV with Chevy Drive Chicago, going to a lot of really cool, fun summer spots.
That's great.
And taking a little tour around the town and going to show you guys some of the best spots to go this summer.
And I'm a Chevy guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My
Kelly,
town is downstairs.
Do I remember correctly, Kelly, that you were also once a realtor, or maybe still are?
I was a realtor for 20 years.
Wow.
Well, I guess.
What?
Practiced
for
18 years.
Hold on a second. 20 years?
Yeah, I got licensed in 1999.
When you were four?
When I was 20. So 20 years ago, yeah.
I stopped really
Oh, that's why Dean's a celebrity realtor, so he knows this.
Yeah. Oh. There's Dean's music. He's actually put a listing on this building.
And Dean Kelly's going to be
like
over at TV
out.
With you tomorrow. She's
yeah.
Gonna
oh,
be over
good.
No,
we can talk real estate tomorrow. Yeah,
how did you know Kelly was a realtor?
I read it.
No, you did your homework.
Yeah.
Look at you. Look at you.
Yeah, it was my family's still in the business here in the city, so it's kind of.
Oh, I know.
It's kind of a name in real estate. Everyone knows the Rizzo team. So. Yeah.
And I think because you live in L.A. as well as, you know, coming here all the time, not enough, but certainly today we appreciate it.
Oh.
L.A. real estate, never more reasonable. I think so many good deals, especially where, Dean? Malibu? Malibu, a good place?
Most of them, yeah. Most of the big ones are in Malibu. If we have time later, I've got a honey of a deal in Australia right now.
Oh, my gosh.
We will make time.
L.A. real estate is absolutely nuts.
Dean, you talk to social media big shots all the time, and I know you look forward to having Kelly on tomorrow, but most of them aren't nearly as successful as Kelly, are they?
No, most of them, honestly, are sort of, I don't want to say, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. Many of them are. They, you know, are not able to parlay their social media success into something a little more substantive, especially the way Kelly has. I mean, you're sort of textbook for how to do this properly, I think.
Well, that is very, very kind of you. I think that the key to it, and something I've always said, is that you have to really have a full 360 approach. And that's what's going to make you stand out, where a lot of people are just Instagrammers or they're just on Twitter.
You got to be everywhere.
And that can't really sustain you. I mean, it might make you do really well for the time being, but like, where's it going to go in the long term?
Okay.
So if you have other things to back it up, whether it's, you know, video content or you do TV, radio, live events, you know, whatever it is, you have to get in front of as many people as possible in different formats.
The question that Dean and I have from the home that we live in is, how do you possibly make the time work? Because, you know, you have not looked at your phone the entire time we've been talking. And I find that impressive.
For three whole minutes.
Because, Dean, as you know, the rest of the world's looking down at their phone all the time,
right?
Because they're posting something or they're reading something somebody else posted. So how do you manage the time?
Well, the nice thing is when you have this career where you're in digital media, you really can make your own schedule. So for the
most
part, No, I do everything myself in terms of my day to day. Well, I mean, it's nice to be able to, you know, kind of format your own day. However, I do think it's important to put the phone down sometimes. I can't stand when, you know, people are walking down the street and you're looking in your phone and they're bumping into people, or at dinner. I mean, that's something that I
Why go out with people, right? Why go out with people if you're just going to stare at your phone?
I try to have a no phones rule at dinner, and actually, it's almost more difficult to get my husband to put his phone down. He's the one that
Come on, man.
He's the one always picking up his phone. I'm like,
Steve, you are one of those. You police a lot of phoning, but you're on your phone.
I'm on my phone a lot. However,
very hypocritical.
I know.
However, I fully advocate, Dean, if I'm in a crosswalk and I'm looking at my phone, you can run me down.
Yep.
Just run me over. Because I deserve it at that point.
I think for some people, it's like sort of a nervous habit now. They're not even, you know, looking for anything. It's just something. It's a nervous habit.
You don't know what else to do with yourself. Yeah. People can't just be. They can't just be with themselves and their own thoughts. They constantly have to be looking at the phone for something to distract them.
Sometimes it can provide good content, though. Like my husband and I'll be on the couch, and I said, "You have to see this," and then we mock people and things that we're looking at on our.
Well, if you're mocking somebody, that's different.
Yeah, we fully endorse that.
Mocking is acceptable at all times.
Kelly Rizzo is here. Eat, Travel, Rock. More on that in a second. When we come back, Dean, along with your honey of a deal. Tom Petty, a Star Trek situation. Wasn't I in a band called Star Trek Situation?
Yes.
I think I was. Beatles story, Arnold Schwarzenegger story coming up. Is there really an Arnold Schwarzenegger rap song?
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to hear that.
Play some of it for you.
Can't wait to hear that.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
Back to Channel 9 and Dean Richards and special guest Kelly Rizzo in here. Kelly, if you knew this segment was called More on Entertainment or More on Entertainment, would you have still agreed to do it?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
How do we seem on it, like 1 to 10 morons? Mm-hmm. Where would you rate
like 10 us? Really a moron, 1 a genius. Where would you put Dean and I?
2.
Right. A 2.
Yeah.
Oh, that's super nice.
We're not trying hard enough.
1.63.
Complete nonsense, but super nice.
We're not trying hard enough then.
Tom Petty, what's the story?
Tom Petty's family is in one of these horrible disputes that happen when somebody passes away and the family starts battling over, you know, possessions and rights. When he died 2 years ago, he left his estate. He split his estate between his two daughters from his first marriage and his second wife. The daughters want more control now. They want control of the father's music catalog. That could be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. But also one of the things that they are fighting about is that the daughters want to put Tom Petty's likeness into a product line, sell products with Tom Petty's likeness on it, the way Paul Newman's likeness is on salad dressing and pasta sauce. The stepmother, Tom Petty's wife, when he passed away, said Tom Petty would have never sold out like that.
This is, Prince's family is going through this. But this is just not, it's not just rich folks. I mean, we see this all the time. You get a divorce, dad wanted this, and it doesn't turn out that way. Mom wanted this, doesn't turn out that way. And the worst thing you can do in the memory of somebody is fight over the stuff. So what do we need to do? Specific wills? They're not specific enough?
Well, it sounds like it was, pretty specific. They split the estate half and half. And, the daughters want more control than what was originally given to them.
And it doesn't cover specifically if you're putting your face on salad dressing.
Right.
And now the salad dressing clause I'd like to read aloud.
Well, Paul Newman, he was alive when he started doing that. It was his choice to start that company. Like they said, I'm sure Tom Petty would probably not want his face.
Petty mayonnaise.
Right, splattered all over a bunch of, you know.
Stop
merch.
Dragging my salad around. That kind of thing. What's the Star Trek story?
And the other story, you remember from the original Star Trek TV series, the actress who's best known as Uhura, her name is Nichelle Nichols. She is now 86 years old.
I have no idea. I mean, it makes sense, right? People get older.
Right.
But you picture her as this babe, in a Star Trek outfit from, like, what was it, 60-something?
Yeah, 1966 is when
when I was five.
When the show debuted, and now apparently she is not in the best of health physically or emotionally, and her son has been named the legal guardian of her. Her manager is disputing it, saying that's not what she would have wanted. He claims to have a video of her screaming in protest as she was told that her son now is the legal guardian. The manager says all the son wants is the money, the estate, the income, the property, and is not really interested in his mother's best interest.
Well, it's about as awful as it gets, isn't it?
Oh, the Ahura.
Not good. What's this Beatles story?
Beam her out of there. There was a popular television show on the BBC, Steve. You know, as a big Anglophile, all things British.
Yeah. No, of course I do.
The only reason I'm bringing the story up is so Steve could do his Queen.
The Queen voice.
Yeah, I bring up a British story every day for no reason except we try and want to get Steve to do the British story. But
and coincidentally, if I dress in drag, and Lord knows I have, because who doesn't want to feel pretty on the weekends, I look like Mrs. Doubtfire. And you'll notice the voice, the Queen voice, is very similar to Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, the only giveaway is when Steve wears the tiara, he has to duct tape it to his head.
Yeah, because it's a big head.
Yeah, because there's nothing to hold on to.
We can't get a size 7 7/8 tiara. Yeah, I don't know
same
why.
Same with me. Same with saying there's no hair to hold on to anything.
Do they have a big and tall tiara shop that I could go into?
I'm not aware of that. I'm going to have to check into that. But anyway, there was this show called Top of the Pops, and the Beatles appeared on it in June of 1966. It was their only live television performance on the BBC. And up until about a month ago, there was no footage found. Somebody found 11 seconds of it, and they showed it on television. That spurred another collector to remember that he had some 8mm films up in a suitcase in his attic. He went up there and checked them out, and it was the rest of the performance. So Beatles experts are saying that this is the Beatles' holy grail to have this very rare performance. And they're going to debut it at a university in the UK.
Well, what kind of numbnut has that sitting in his attic and goes, oh, yeah, I forgot?
Because if you're a collector, Steve, though, we know that with being in a business where we have archived a lot and then they've archived too much and we don't know what to do with it and, you know, people get rid of it or buy it or sell. You know, like you can be sitting on a lot. And I know that's actually television footage, but we watched the John Lennon and Yoko Ono Netflix thing, and they were like being filmed constantly, and so like you, that is tons and tons and tons of footage of material, and so you can't, you know, unless you're like got your own records and archive system going, you know, like you have too much to save.
I could see like Paul McCartney would forget that he has something cool in the attic because he was the Beatles. If you just were a fan or management or associated with a band, I don't know how you wouldn't know you had stuff that was worth all that money.
I'm thinking that like fan / collector really is just much more polite way of saying a hoarder.
Yeah.
Who may have
got a lot of stuff,
of stuff up in that attic. But he remembered that he had these old film clips, these old films, these little 8mm films. It's amazing that they hadn't really disintegrated.
Remember when I had the Mona Lisa and I forgot and I eventually sent it back to France?
Yeah. That's a good point, Dean, because usually you have to bake those to like extend their life and things.
They are extremely fragile. I mean, anybody that has old home movies or anything, you know, if you haven't done some kind of digital conversion on those, you can pretty much expect the film. I mean, the film itself will still be there, but I don't know if it's oxide or whatever it is that's used on the film to preserve the image, that's going to disintegrate off. That's going to go. So
I don't get a dime for this, and Lord knows I should, but a big proponent of Legacy Bucks. Did you ever do the Legacy Box thing?
I'm putting mine together, but I think it's great. Yeah. I'm putting old Super 8 videos from
when you celebrated your 25th anniversary in show business.
Yeah, that was it.
I did that too. I digitized all the family pictures and home movies.
And there's other ways to do it, but on Legacy Box, I found to be a very a reliable service. Because the weird thing is, you have these very valuable things in your life, and you're going to send it to somebody who I don't know and assume they're going to take care of it and then send it back to me. So once you get over that little trust hump, you're fine.
I like looking at the old footage. You know, you're able to look at things, you know, more often because it's much easier to access. And I like looking at home movies of me as a little kid. It makes me feel better about myself now.
Can we go back?
Wasn't I in a band called Trust Hump?
That's going to have to be worked into the Moron Entertainment presentation.
Do we have a honey of a deal before we get to Schwarzenegger?
Yes, we do. One real estate agent to another, Kelly.
Kelly, you and Dean, don't get bogged down in shop talk here. Try to let the rest of us relate.
Yeah, I don't want to like, you know, throw this in your face or anything, because I know, you know, if you get a real estate listing, you don't want to throw it in somebody else's face that you got a great deal. And
can't we all just get along?
Do.
Oh,
yeah,
you do.
You do.
Oh, you want to rub it in?
I mean, subtly.
All right, what is it?
It's Olivia Newton-John's estate that she has owned since back in the day, when, you know, during the super popular heyday when she was the top of the charts in Australia. It's Australian farmland. And
does it feature Australian farm animals?
There are Australian farm animals rolling the estate. It is, let me see here. I'm trying to just, you know, I'm looking through all the paperwork here. It is, you'd think I would have this way more organized.
I'm telling you, Kelly is so close to just grabbing this deal right out from under you.
This may be why my real estate career is not what I'm hoping that it would be. It's 40 minutes from a celebrity and tourist favorite area called Byron Bay.
Okay.
It's a mixture of rolling pasture and green lawns with panoramic views. The main residence has 3 bedrooms and 2 baths, but an attached 4-room guest quarters, 2-car garage, and tennis court. Steve, listen to this now. You want to talk honey of a deal.
Right.
Olivia Newton-John has lived in this house for 4 decades.
Okay.
I can get this property to you today for $5.5 million.
Well, as usual, cash is king. I have $222 in my wallet right now, and I'm throwing that out there.
You are walking around with some cash today.
I have $87. Can I add that?
Absolutely. Well, we're a partnership.
That's great.
Right. Yeah.
I have
$309.
Oh, Dave's got a lot.
I have $56, plus I have 5 raffle tickets for the Illinois Patriot Education Fund golf outing.
Which was last Monday?
Which was Monday.
It was Monday.
Or Tuesday, actually. That's $365. Sandberg, you want in?
I have no cash, ever. I have a credit card.
Well, we have $365 in cash, Dean. And I know what you usually tell me. That's not
$5
million.
It's not $5.5 million. And I'll put the offer in.
You walk $365 in cash over there, and you tell us they're not going to take it.
I'll walk the deal over. Kelly, what would you do at this point? I mean, is...
Well, I would at least like to buy me... I'm sure they have some sheep on the property. Maybe the $365 could get us, like, a sheep.
Oh, yeah. So, like, one sheep.
Yeah.
Or maybe a lease, a rent-to-own kind of sheep situation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like an Uber sheep.
I have $100 that I was going to spend on Dave for his birthday.
Oh, well, throw it in.
Throw it in. That's good.
$465. Michael, you got any money?
I'm going to spend $100?
Is Viv in there? Does Viv have any money?
I don't know if it matters, but Steve
$4.
Already,
Viv has $4. We're at $469.
Steve already has several sheep at his house now. So.
Well, that's between me and the sheep. What's the Schwarzenegger story?
Arnold Schwarzenegger is part of a rap song. He's making his rap debut.
God, please no.
Oh, yes. It's a song that was recorded by an Austrian pop star named Andreas Gabler.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Arnold Schwarzenegger tribute song called Pump It Up.
Is he sampled in it or something?
Arnold actually sings on it. It's not even sampled. It's actual rapping.
How awful is this going to be?
It starts off with the Australian pop star, and then Arnold pumps in.
He was born in Austria. He had a dream to become a star. A poor young guy, but never shy. Said, here I am, hold on.
Hey, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. Listen carefully. Dig deep down and ask yourself, who do you want to be? I don't want to hear it can't be done. Give always something back. My name is Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'll be back.
How about that?
I think he should be kicked out of show business at noon today. In a formal ceremony, I think he should be removed from show business.
Get out of here.
I think it's strong.
Inspired.
Kelly, Eat Travel
I'm
Rock.
I'm going to do some steroids right now. I feel so inspired.
Kelly, this is your area. Eat Travel Rock.
I don't know. I have such a soft spot for Schwarzenegger. I love him. So he can, I mean.
You're allowing him to stay. I'm rescinding the ceremony. The ceremony to remove Arnold Schwarzenegger from show business is now canceled.
I grew up watching his movies. My dad would literally sit me down and have me watch like Commando and Predator when I was like, 6 years old.
Oh, what a sweet father-daughter memory.
Years,
oh, that's sweet.
We watch it as a family.
also a big fan from a young boy. Right now, I'm just wearing those little Speedo trunks that he used to wear.
Oh,
when he would work out.
Does that make Larry and Robin feel awkward at all?
A little uncomfortable around the office. Not for me, but.
Kelly, when you go to Channel 9 tomorrow, if Dean's in a Speedo, you come right back here.
I will be.
You can consider this your safe
out
zone.
Of there. I'm just kidding. It'll be a welcome sight.
More on entertainment. That's what we do. Thanks, buddy.
See you tomorrow, Kelly.
See you tomorrow.
Kelly Rizzo. You know what time you're on tomorrow?
I think 9:40.
9 o'clock hour tomorrow on Channel 9. You're permitted to watch that and then immediately return to the show when the segment's over. We'll come back with your headlines. Are we doing it right now? Quick break. No, we're doing it now. Now, Dave, what do you got?
I'm Kelly Rizzo, and my extreme passion for food, travel, and music fuels my entire life. From growing up in a Sicilian family in Chicago who raised me to explore and expand my palate, to learning everything I can about the travel industry and putting it to use, and spending my years immersed in the culture and lifeblood that is rock and roll, I now want to share it all with you. Come with me to experience the hottest destinations of food, travel, and music around the world. It's time to eat, travel, rock.
Lightning and the thunder.
Kelly Rizzo in studio, back to work a little bit and see family. She's a good Chicago girl. EatTravelRock.com, EatTravelRock all over social media. Let's talk about the travel piece for a second. Where do we need to go?
Oh, geez, let's see. I just got back from Cabo this week, and I have to say, it's changed so... Have you guys been there?
I have not been to Cabo.
I have. So Steve is Mr. Anti-Mexico.
No, that's not true. I'm not a huge fan of Mexico. I'm not anti-Mexico. It's just not my favorite place.
He's not big on sitting around, relaxing, enjoying good food
on the beach.
In the sun.
Can't sit on the beach.
You're not a beach chill kind of guy. Right. Well,
imagine the floppy hat.
Well, you know, you get a floppy hat, but it's changed so much.
Oh, it has.
And Cabo is, well, okay. Keep in mind, coming from LA, where I live most of the time, you know, it's an hour 50-minute flight.
Cake, yeah.
It's super easy, and it's just so beautiful down there. So Cabo's great if you're looking for something else in Mexico that's not Cancun.
What about security? You know? I mean, do you have to go to an all-inclusive, or are there good local places where you can feel safe?
I don't do the all-inclusive thing. I just always feel the food is not really up to par.
Right.
And I've been hearing lately that they water down the drinks, and you are not really getting what you think you're getting. You might be paying, well, actually, it's all-inclusive, but they'll give you a shot of something, and it's actually not that booze that you think you're getting.
I would rather have one good drink than four subpar whatever.
Well, let's go to Dave on the booze. Dave, it's your birthday today. How do you feel about watered down drinks?
Well, there was a problem, though. I've been to those all-inclusives, and there was a problem with that. I think that was there an issue where they weren't regulating the some of the liquor that
in
they were
Mexico
serving.
Yeah. A lack of regulation.
No, but I think there was a girl who died.
I think there's different levels of resorts. You know, like I don't want to paint a picture that there's plenty of high end ones that not have. You know,
but what about the security?
The Hyatt Ziva is really regulated because Hyatt. You know, like there. So there's.
But we hear all this stuff about how dangerous Mexico has become. Is it hype or is it real?
It's definitely real, but once again, depending on where you go, depending on how you go. If you are, you know, a bunch of 18-year-old girls spring breaking and you're out in Cancun until 3 in the morning, walking down the beach, you know, without
supervision. You're asking for problems.
Right, exactly. However, you know, keep in mind when I travel when I travel on my own or with friends or when I'm filming, I usually go somewhere a little bit more middle of the road. But when I travel with my husband, he likes to, you know, really have a very... you know, exclusive private experience. So we'll usually stay at a place that's more quiet, a little bit more private, and has great security. So that's how we've done it lately.
Have you learned trial and error? Is there somebody that you depend on for their expertise locally?
I would say when you go there, if you're staying at one of the really great resorts, they all have amazing, you know, guides and concierge that within the resort, so they really help you. Even if you're leaving the resort to do an excursion, they help you and guide you and make sure that you get set up with the best people that are very reputable.
What's a good road trip? You do road trips?
I do.
Because your city guides at eTravelRock.com are all great.
Yeah, my favorite one of the last few years would be up the California coast, up the central coast. Let's say driving from L.A., you're going up north through Santa Barbara, then through San Luis Obispo, and then finally ending up in like the Big Sur, Carmel,
Monterey. That's crazy beautiful.
It's so beautiful. And that's, I mean, it's really only, you know, 5-6 hours, so it doesn't have to be this very extensive road trip.
And there's a million cool places to stop, right?
So many different types of terrain, and, you know, you have the beaches, you have the cliffs. It's so beautiful for, you know, you could do that just for a couple days.
Prior to when your life expanded and you moved to L.A., when you were here with your family growing up, was there a road trip you would take?
My family was not the road trip family. All we did for vacations was we did Florida and Vegas. And my whole life
Vegas,
growing
the family
up,
vacation.
We had Clearwater, Florida to visit my grandma, and then we had Vegas since I was 16 years old.
Why Vegas? Your parents liked it?
My mom's always been a huge Vegas fan. We were just actually there 2 weeks ago for Mother's Day. She flew out and
really?
My sister and I met her there, and she'll gamble till 3 a.m. and she always wins. And
Is she a player, or is she sitting at the nickel slots?
No. She plays blackjack, and she plays.
That's
she's
hilarious.
Really. She got me into, I think it's called Crazy Four Poker. We started playing that, and that's so
I don't know
fun.
Crazy Four Poker.
I think it's a newer kind of okay. trendier game. Maybe they only have it at some casinos.
Did you win? Did you pay attention to mom?
I won like $300, but she did a lot better than I did. But yeah, it was really fun. So that was our road trips growing up were Vegas and Florida. I guess sometimes we did like the Wisconsin, Six Flags type thing, but I don't know how much of a road trip that is.
I think the last time you were on, we were talking about music locally, and there's a million great places to see cool music in town, including a lot of places that kind of easily get stamped as touristy that really aren't.
Right.
But what do you like now?
Actually, I have something for you guys. This weekend, I think Friday through Sunday, is Do Division Fest.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a really cool street festival in Wicker Park. It's on Division from Damon to Levitt. And if you want to see some great like local live bands, obviously the great food, all the restaurants there in Wicker Park. You know,
Michael, you're a music guy. Are you going out to Division Fest?
Division,
yeah, I'll be
Steve.
Out there.
Yeah, are you going to be there?
I knew Michael would be there.
It's an amazing festival. It's great, great.
Michael
place
goes to
be.
Everything, everywhere, all
I
the
do.
Time.
He always knows the good music and the good bands.
Yeah, so he'll report on that later on. When we come back, I just want to ask you before we run out of time, what's a nice Italian girl eat when she's not eating Italian food? And when
sushi.
You come home, well, save that. It might be sushi.
From the Allstate Skyline Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
One of the worst things you can do to a comedian is introduce them as one of the funniest people in the world. My friend Pat McGann, one of the funniest people in the world, will be here in just a few minutes. You're not here yet, are you?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Few minutes.
I only got a few minutes left for our friend Kelly Rizzo. Eat Travel Rock. She's in town to work. Follow her at Eat Travel Rock everywhere. But let's talk about you little Sicilian. You grew up and you were allowed to eat other than Italian.
Yeah. Well, when my Nana cooked for us, that's all, obviously, we ate, let's say, half the week. Because she cooked for us all the time. So, other than that, I think, well, growing up, keep in mind. You know, let's say in the 80s, 90s, it was a lot of more casual fast food type things. And then on the weekends, it was the Sicilian food. But, now, my palate has expanded.
Well, you're, living in California.
True.
You kind of, it's a thing to do. But you love sushi.
I do.
Where do you eat sushi in town?
Well, we were just talking about Sunda.
It's
Sunda's
tremendous.
Great. You can never go wrong there. And yeah, they just had their 10-year anniversary, but they are always so consistent. And you can have things other than sushi there, which is great. But if you like sushi, it's always a good spot. Tried and true. Kaizen. Have you guys been to Kaizen?
I have not.
It's in
West. You know
West
Kaizen?
Town.
You go to every restaurant in the world.
Yes, we have been there.
And?
Where it's amazing. I also like Union Sushi. That's right by my sister's house, so we go there a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, Union's good. I haven't been there in a while.
You ever get the pre-wrapped stuff at Mariano's?
See, this is why you're not here yet.
Sorry.
You know what? Honestly, Mariano's, they have a sushi bar there, and they have their sushi's actually fantastic.
It is, see?
It's fresh, they make it.
It's really good.
What are you talking about?
It's fresh.
Yeah, but you can sit and eat it there. They have an actual sushi chef.
And you can order it to, like, if you're avoiding the rice and all that.
Yeah, they make it to order, and you sit at the little bar, and I've actually had a meal at Mariano's.
The Walgreens has it, too, across from Tribune Tower. And the next of the
and I'm sure that's made fresh at the moment as well by the Walgreens pharmacy department.
That's where I draw the line.
The crab roll things. The crab is so pink because it's fake. Whatever. It's like the brightest color pink you could see.
You know the problem with the real crab. It just tastes like crab.
Imitation crab meat.
Imitation. That's the word.
Yeah. It's no good. No good at all. It's great to see you.
So great to see you guys. This is so fun actually coming in the station. This is amazing. I'm here like once a month, so next time.
Well, now you're committed.
We'll try to do a non-phone call next time.
Yeah, now you're committed. Now whenever you can, you come in.
And I mean, this view, I mean, come on, this is incredible. I wish you guys could all see it.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. As a matter of fact, come by. Anyone listening now? There's only a few hundred thousand of you swinging.
Everyone, come on by.
303 Swacker. Get by security. You headed to work right now, so thank you for hanging for all the extra time this morning.
Of course, thanks for having me, guys. This is so great.
Kelly Rizzo, and we follow you at eTravelRock.com. Anything else we need to know plug-wise?
That's it. Just filming some great stuff this weekend, and I will share that with you guys next time I'm here.
Please tell Mr. Saget we said hello.
I will.
All right. All the best. Coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, it's Steve Gazzani. Stand by for that. I want to say hi to my friend Pat McGann, who's been on the road almost nonstop. I don't know how he does it. How do you do it?
You know, it's not bad. It's just weekends, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a grind, but...
You're working with Sebastian Maniscalco, who's as hot as anybody in comedy, and you're opening for him all over the world. You did the Madison Square Garden shows?
I did, yeah. That was a thrill.
How many were there?
Four.
Four shows?
Yeah, it was like... it was in January. It was a blast.
And where else did you play? You played some ridiculously big venues.
We've done... we did the arena in Toronto, where the Raptors play. They're about to kick off the NBA Finals.
Sebastian works in a really big room because he's so physical.
Right. It works for him doing it. And he would even say that he prefers, I think, more intimate setting. But with the screens now that they have, the high-def screens, and how he works it in the round. I went up at the Garden, and I went up in another arena we did and watched it from like up high, and it works. It really does.
You're in the same arena, so is it working for your stuff?
Yeah,
there?
I mean, but
that's the one I wonder because.
But I'm not as.
You're not. You're
much
funny.
Of a performer as he is. You
yeah,
know,
you're
I'm
funny
not as physical.
In a more traditional way.
Yeah.
You're funny in a more traditional way, and you're funny, smart, and you're not throwing your arms around and flailing and all that all the time. So the screens had to help you too, I would say.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm able to sneak up on those people. You know, they're there to see him. They're excited about the night, and it's just a ride. I mean, we got to do some, like, not only arenas, but like these historic theaters and all over this country, like the Fox in Detroit, and they have one in Atlanta too. Like,
now, see, I've like, opening
beautiful theater.
I've opened for big band acts all the time, including Cher, who wanted to put one of her headpieces on me.
Oh yeah,
couldn't find the right size. But I've never opened for another comic in a big room. Usually when you go out and open for a band, they'll scream for the band.
Right.
And the only time I ever opened for another comic in a larger room was for Howie Mandel, and they screamed Howie a lot. what's it like with Sebastian? Because they're so nuts for him. Were the crowds good to you? Did
his
they give you a chance to be funny?
Yes. Yeah, they're receptive, and they are, like I said, when I come out there, they're pretty focused. Usually the theater is pretty much set. Like, they hold for me, so it's not like I'm going out there where everyone's still finding their seats and all that.
Which is good.
They're great. They are a really nice crowd. They're a smart crowd. They're fun. They really are.
And Sebastian's a nice guy, for those people that don't know.
And
he hasn't turned into a show business jerk.
Right. And the difference is, like, people listening, like, at comedy clubs, occasionally they might paper the room.
Means free tickets.
Free tickets. These people are invested in the show. They have bought tickets. They probably fought people online to get them. They are excited to be there. They are ready to go. They're juiced.
Well, I love that more people are getting a chance to see you.
Oh, thank you,
Kelly Rizzo, you got to see Pat McGann when you can. He's very, very funny. He's even funnier than he's been here so far.
Yeah, right.
I'm there.
It's 9:01. We're back in a moment with the remaining of the 9 o'clock hour that just started. Hi to everybody on CLTV. Does CLTV know it's your birthday?
I don't know if they know.
Saving its birthday.
They know now.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you, Pat.
Man. Kelly Rizzo decided she's going to do an Eat Travel Rock full segment on Dave's birthday today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Thanks, Kelly.
Starting at Walgreens with the sushi.
Totally.
This is Dave's favorite.
WGN Radio wants to send you on a Blackhawks getaway for two. I will take you to Europe. We're going to go to Prague. We're going to watch the Hawks play hockey. I'm going to take over that big castle. Yeah, it's all part of the plan. We will qualify people starting weekday mornings at 7:40 every day, including tomorrow. And then next Friday, week from tomorrow, we'll give away the trip. We've got a little surprise, too, we've cooked up. Can't tell you what it is. Even though Abigail would say, what is it? I'll tell her. I won't tell you.